Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Terry Tackett, and have you ever wondered or thought about Bigfoot? Well, today we're going to talk to a man who knows Bigfoot personally in a special way. I'm very proud to be joined by a gentleman who prefers to remain anonymous, but for this show, we'll call him Art. Art, how you doing?
Fine, Terry. How are you?
Doing great.
Thank you for having me on your show, Terry.
Oh, no problem. Now, Art, I know, before we get started here, how did this come to fruition? I mean, what this tale, or I don't even know what you'd call it.
Well, Terry, let's start off at the beginning of everything, I guess. And we'll probably have to go back till 1966 or 1967. I grew up down along the Ohio River, Gallipolis, Ohio, and across the river from Gallipolis is Point Pleasant. And today what they have over there is the Mothman statue and the Mothman days and the Mothman party and everything. But the real story behind all that is, just to put it bluntly, I was in the military at that time, and I went home on leave and run into a couple of buddies of mine, Lonnie Darst and his buddy. No, I can't remember Ray's last name, but I ran into them at a little restaurant there in Middleport. So they were getting ready to go over to Ray's uncle's house in Point Pleasant and run some kids out of his uncle's cornfield. That's what we used to do back in those days. Is you get your girlfriend and you'd run back and drive back in some old farmer's cornfield and park and do whatever you wanted to do, whatever you thought about.
We're a family show.
I understand that, but that, I think everybody out there in radio land understands what we used to do in the 60s. Well, they invited me to go along with them because they hadn't seen me for a while and I hadn't seen them. So we went over to Point Pleasant, and on the way there to the house and to the cornfield, Ray stopped and got a sheet off his grandma's line, a big old white sheet. So then we snuck out on into the cornfield, waiting for the Parkers, I guess, to arrive. Well, sooner or later they arrived, and we give them about 15 minutes, and they ended up in the back seat. And that's when Ray put this big sheet over top of himself and jumped up on the trunk of this car and started jumping up and down. Nothing to damage the car, but just to moving up and down. Well, I'm sitting there watching all this and watching the girl and the guide really, really get excited when that car started going up and down. It was kind of funny, I'll tell you, Terry, it was. Uh-huh. Anyway, they jumped over the front seat there and started that car up, and off they took down the road or through the cornfield, I should say. And then Ray come rolling off the back end of that car. And in that process of him rolling off of that car, that sheet got hooked on either the aerials that we used to have in our cars back in on the rear bumpers or fenders, or it got hooked on the sheet. And I really didn't think anything about it, but there they were going on down the road with that sheet, that big old white sheet, hooked onto the back end of that car. Well, when Ray rolled off that car, he got kind of hurt. Well, we had to end up taking him to the...
I was going to say, nothing serious.
Serious, but we had to end up taking him to the hospital to get him checked out. And then that was it for us. We all went back to the restaurant and had some more coffee or something, or beer maybe. And I never thought about it anymore. It never crossed my mind about anything happening other than their grandma, Ray's grandma, wondered where that sheet was for a long, long time after that. So I never really considered it or even thought about it very much. From then up until 1991 or 92, I'd seen this girl. It was on television at the time. The girl was explaining that this animal or this Mothman with these big red eyes was chasing them down the road. What? because I don't believe in this kind of stuff. I don't believe that there's a Bigfoot out there, but we got some talking to do about that, and I don't believe there's any aliens out there, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But this girl was explaining how these big red eyes and big white thing was chasing her and her boyfriend down the road. This was on the evening news that she was explaining all this. So that's when I really, that's when I really put everything together. That was the girl that was in that car the night that we went down there and scared them half to death, really, what happened.
The cornfield girl.
The cornfield girl. And I've seen her on television a couple of other times, but and really back in the early mid-90s, I should say, I called down to the newspaper there in Point Pleasant and tried to tell them what actually happened, at that the eyes in that girl's was seeing was the reflection of the taillights in there going back into that sheet. Of course, that sheet finally, I guess, just blew off on the side of the road, and that was all there was to it. Nobody ever seen anything. But today, you got a big following of the Mothman down in Point Pleasant, West Virginia.
Now, I was going to ask you about that, Art. Is that some kind of festival? Or
It's a real big festival. They get people from all over the world in there to see this thing, and they got a big statue down there. It must be 10, 12 feet tall.
And it's the Mothman, they call it.
It's a Mothman. That's what they call it.
Okay,
The Mothman was
I just wanted to make sure I heard you right.
The Mothman was a sheet caught on the back end of that car, and the taillights just shattered back at it. Evidently made it look like it had two big red eyes.
But the reflection from the cornfield must have.
It just got hilarious, you know, after I realized what was really going on. That grandma sheet, and I understand that she looked for that sheet for years. You know how old women are on their bedclothes, buddy. They want to know where they're at. Mm-hmm. But anyway, let's back up here until 1988. I got this brother named Michael.
Now, 1988, Art, just for the people, is that when the dispatch picked up this story?
Well, they picked up the Bigfoot story.
Okay, all right.
That's
go
what
ahead.
We're
okay.
going to right, right
go
now.
Ahead.
This
yep.
is,
go ahead.
Folks, this is all a true story, I'm telling you. So if you got a real smart brother, you know, handle this a little more delicate than I did, I guess. It did cause a rift in the family for a while there. I got this brother, Michael. He's probably the smartest human being I've ever met in my life. But unbelievable, he believes that there's a Bigfoot out there. He's a big-time hunter, and he does all kinds of things, but he believes that there was a Bigfoot. Well, me and my sister, we thought we would help him out find his Bigfoot. So we planned, and when you do this kind of stuff, you got to really plan to make sure you don't get caught. We didn't want to get caught, and we didn't want to get shot by anybody either. So you got to really, really plan everything the way, right down to a T, or right down to the second. So we had it all planned out, and I rented a gorilla outfit here in Columbus, and how we planned it is my sister was going to go down to another brother's house that was having a birthday party for his kids. And my brother that really believed in Bigfoot was going to be there. So my sister was going to film the birthday party. And then I was going to run across the top of the hill in my gorilla outfit. Well, that's exactly what I did. We had it set up for a certain time. We had to sync our watches and everything else. When it come to that particular time, I was to get up, I was in the gorilla outfit, and I was to go, and I went across the top of this hill. And I kind of turned and looked down over the hill to make sure that my sister was seeing me and filming me, which she was doing. So we had my sister there, we had my two brothers there, we had all of these kids there, and we had two or three other women there, or she, my sister did, and they were filming the birthday party, and then they scanned up to the top of the hill, and there I was in that grill outfit, taking big long strides. You know, you know how you ever seen a.
So you were making the footprints and everything.
Well, I'd made some footprints. I'm getting there, Terry.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm getting there. So my deal was I was to go back over once I knew that they seen me and filmed me. My deal was to cut off to the left on the back side of the hill, and my sister was going to load my brother Mike up in the car and go down to the next road to see if they could catch me coming out of the woods down at the bottom of the back side of the hill. Well, that's where I had put out some big footprints. Oh, they were about 18 inches long.
Yeah.
And of course, we moved or smoothed out all the other dirt and took leaves and everything and covered up any kind of like human traffic where I'd been down there beating these big footprints, because the ground was really hard for some reason. And I beat these 18-inch long footprints, and how I made them, I got a piece of plywood, and I just laid my hand down and drew like my fingers and my whole forearm here up to the elbow. So they turned out about 18, 20 inches long, and it looked pretty good. And I had two of them, and I beat on one of them so hard it broke it in two. So, but what you could do, you could just turn that, the one I had left over, and it would serve as the other foot. And some of the hillside there where the bank of the road, it was kind of soft. And my sister got the one good foot we had left, and she would flip it back and forth as this big foot. And, you know, Bigfoot, he'd take a stride there about 6 foot there. So she made big strides going upside this bank, and she got her a pencil or a knife out and made it look like he had his toenails, his claws or whatever they have, sticking back in the mud, you know, and getting up the side of this bank. So anyway, what I'd actually done, because I didn't want to get shot, you know, running across the top of a hill in a gorilla outfit,
sure,
in southern Ohio.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know, you could really be in a bad way. I had come up there earlier on the four-wheeler, before the party actually started, and I was just kind of waiting there for them all to come out at this particular time. So I jumped on the four-wheeler when they were getting in the car to go down to the, I guess, the footprint scene. Is that a bad name for it? Where the crime had taken place,
yeah,
Terry.
That's good. Yeah.
So by this time, I had gotten back to the house where my sister lives. And my sister, mm-hmm. She was filming all this stuff all the time. But what's happened now, you know, this did kind of hurt my brother's feelings just a little bit, you know. He didn't really get too mad that we tricked him, but my sister won't let nobody have that video she took. She guards that thing with her life and won't let nobody have it, but it is there. She'd probably be bribed, but I don't think I should have to bribe her. But anyway, by the time they got back from her trip, I was at the house waiting on them. You know, they thought I had just driven down from Columbus is what they thought. And so we was having another big party there that evening, and my brother Mike was there and everything, and he begins to tell me about this thing they seen. And my sister was filming it all, and I said, oh, Mike, you're wrong. There ain't no such thing as a Bigfoot out there. He said, yeah, they are, and I said, no, they ain't. That's when I went out to the car and put the gorilla suit on and come walking back into the house. Hey, oh, he really got her. It really hurt him. But what happened after all this, I don't know if it came from all them kids being there at that birthday party or one of my brothers said something to somebody. Next thing I know, there's 400 people down there with shotguns and dogs looking for Bigfoot. I couldn't believe it. And then the Columbus Dispatch I wrote an article on it, wrote a couple of articles on it, and it's in the Columbus Dispatch here. You have a copy of that, yeah. Now, there's another article, but I didn't find it. I need to go back and find that thing, because that's where they show all the guns laid out. Some people out there probably remember going down looking for Bigfoot. I was safely back in Columbus. Let's see. So then later on, I'd say about a year later, that some new or bigger film company come in and was looking for the Bigfoot of Southern Ohio down in Meigs County or Vinton County, but I never could find a copy of what they were looking for him. They called him the Grass Man Bigfoot. So I got to take a drink here, Terry. So let's see. Well, that's about enough of Bigfoot, but what really happened, because there were so many people looking for me with them dogs and shotguns, I didn't say anything to anybody for years that I was Bigfoot. You know, I guess there are people out there who got mad about that. So I didn't say anything to anybody about it. But
better to keep a low profile.
Oh, it was, yeah. To me it was. Yeah. So, but what happened, I'd started a new job out in Newark, and I went out, this was about 93, 94, I guess. I went out and I started that new job. I went into work one morning, and, you know, you go out to the smoke booth with the guys, and you're just BSing around and everything. It's nothing really serious. And I told them guys, I said, boys, I'm Bigfoot, and I know a couple of big feet, and they'll get you for laughing at me, you know. Those guys were just joking with me and stuff. And one guy said, oh, you can't be an old Bigfoot. You ain't no Bigfoot. And there's about 10 or 12 guys there. And one of them, my buddy, Dick, he paid a lot more attention to what I was saying. And after we got done, after they got done laughing at me and everything, he come over and started talking to me about that. And that's when I began to tell him, said, well, I'm the guy behind the Mothman Prophecy. I'm the Bigfoot of Southern Ohio. And, you know, and there's everything you ever seen about Bigfoot, there's somebody behind it, whether he's out in Washington or down in Texas somewhere, Arkansas. There's somebody behind that. There's no Bigfoot out there, because he would have been found by now if it had been something like that. Anyway, my buddy Dick got to be good friends with him. And one day I told him, said, well, this is what I did to my brother. Just the same story I just told you. But I said, I got a sister. My sister believes in aliens. And he says that his old lady, his wife, believes in aliens too. And that's when the game was on. So we started planning. Terry, we started planning, planned and planned and planned and did everything. And what actually went on, my buddy has a place down at Seneca Lake in their party, or just I don't know what you call those kind of places, where a bunch of trailers are, like a resort, or they call it a resort. I don't know if it's really a resort or not, but It's a nice place, you know, really comfortable. Everybody's all laid back, you know, nothing really serious going on. Everybody goes down to the lake and drinks a couple beers and goes back home after the weekend. But there was a party house down there at the resort that we had planned, and what we had planned on doing is for me to get a big balloon and fill it full of helium and paint it all up to look like what you would think a spaceship would look like. I think I gave you a copy.
Yeah, you did.
I gave you a copy of one of the photograph of the spaceship. So here again, come planning and more planning and more planning. What do you think of that spaceship, Terry? You think
it's nice?
Huh?
That's nice.
Does that look like a real spaceship?
It does. It does.
Well, what that is, it's just a balloon, a big 10, 12-foot balloon filled full of helium. And I painted that thing up with fluorescent paint. And I put LEDs all around it and down at the bottom of it, so it looks like it's got an engine. But I guess what I want to emphasize the most is, boy, we planned. Him and I worked every day on a plan to somehow trick his old lady and his wife into seeing this daggone spaceship. So it came the day they was going to have a big party. I believe his son was going off to Kosovo. And they were having a big party for him up at the party house. That was the night I was going to set the spaceship off. Well, I had to go get me a big U-Haul rental truck and put my spaceship, tie it all down in the back end of that. Tied it all up in the back end of that U-Haul truck. And down the road I go, out from Columbus all the way down to Seneca Lake. And got down there about, 10:15 at night. And it was scheduled for him to be, my buddy Dick, to be at the clubhouse at 10:30 for that spaceship to drift up out of the roadway where I was parked down there and to drift up the hollow towards the clubhouse. I'd tried this with them little smaller balloons like you get at Kroger's, like a birthday balloon. And every time I set one of them off, it just drifted up out of between these pine trees and up the hollow it would go, right over top of the lake house or clubhouse. I said, well, this is going to be a cinch, right? Well, it wasn't a cinch. I got down there. I set the, threw the door open, threw the balloon out the back end of that door, and I took off, all right, because I didn't want to get caught doing something like that. It's kind of illegal, and it's dangerous in case somebody sees you. But what actually happened, that balloon went up over top of them pine trees, and instead of taking off up that hollow where the clubhouse was, it drifted out across the lake. I could see it go over top of the pines, and I seen it head out towards the lake, but I didn't know for sure it went that way. But I also looked out in that lake, and I seen four or five lights out there. And evidently, these old guys were out there catfishing late at night, 10:30, quarter to 11 at night. So I didn't think too much about them guys. But as you will, I'll tell you here in a little bit, they evidently seen that spaceship. Man, I'm thirsty tonight for some reason, a little nervous here, so bear with me, folks. I'm trying to tell this story. This took a long time to create.
You're
but
doing
it's,
fine, Art. You're doing fine.
So, let's see. Well, that's all we did that particular night. So we got back home, and everything was quiet. And I went back into work the next Monday or whenever it was. Dick stays down there at the lake house a lot. He didn't see the spaceship come out over above the clubhouse. Nothing. So it went on there for about 2 weeks. We didn't hear nothing. We didn't see nothing. And nothing was going on. So Dick didn't even know that I threw it out of the back of the truck. But, I know I did. Well, about that time, about 3 weeks later, some of them old fellas down there got the, I guess they got a little confused. They didn't know what they had. They thought they had seen a real spaceship coming up out of that. So they finally, after about another week or two, took Dick into their confidence about this spaceship they had seen. And then it was on, right? We that old man, they wouldn't tell hardly anything about what they'd seen. They wanted to keep it a secret. They wanted to, if anybody's going to catch an alien, they were going to be the ones to catch it. So what we did next to them, these old men, Dick went out and got him some rebar. And he took his torch and stretched it out a little bit, took his torch and flattened out one of the fingers on it and made him a foot. The heel was a round piece of rebar, and then the other rebar was three toes coming out on it. So he took it down to the lake, and he put longer legs on it, I guess is a better word, and started back out in the water, and then marched them feet into an old beech tree that had been burned out, or lightning hit it or something. So here are these feet coming up out of the lake, these strange-looking feet, to this beech tree. Then they end. They don't go any other place. So he helped them old men find these footprints, right? So, boy, they were really into it then. They thought at that them aliens were living in this lake, and they were coming back to that beech tree that was all hollow and burned out at the top. Maybe they were climbing that beech tree to get on the mothership, or they didn't know. See, they was... feet went up to the beech tree, but that was it. They had no idea where they was going. So somebody got the idea. Somebody from Montana, a fish and wildlife guy, come in and started and making copies of those footprints that Dick had put in the sand, right? But this time it was getting a week later, so they wasn't too good. But to get them... one of the old men had gotten his wife's candle and went down and melted the candle into those footprints so he would have a copy of that footprint, right? He's got a copy of alien footprint now. Then a couple of days later, somebody from Montana, they said the fish and wildlife is what he told everybody. I don't know where he was from, Terry, but some guy come in there and was investigating.
An out-of-state guy.
Yeah, and he was investigating their story and investigating these footprints. So here one of the old men got these candle footprints, and Dick's trying to help him get all that done, you know. And let's see, what else did we do? That guy from Montana cut down this beech tree and packed all that wood away, especially the part where it is burned out up in top of it, up in the hollow. Now, we don't know what he did with it, but he hauled all that stuff away. And they would hear things on the lake, you know, a turtle falling off a log will make a noise, you know, splash in the water. So anytime these old guys, they had nothing else to do but go around that lake all day looking for something. So that's what they did, you know, basically. And then about end of July, there's another group of people showed up. And these people started as a man and woman and two or three other younger people. And these people started dragging up the boats that had sunk in the lake, dragging them up and putting them up on the shore. I guess what we could demise out of it is that these guys were thinking maybe those aliens are living in these boats that have been sunk in the lake. So so anyway, this girl was kind of in charge of everything. And they were all looking around for everything. So Dick and I had to be extremely careful about what we were doing because we could not afford to get caught, you know. But her and her associate would go down to the local bar there in Seneca Lake area, and the same bar that Dick and I would go to, you know, when I was in the town. And we run into them down there, and we had all kinds of plans for them. We were going to... We were going to abduct them and let them think that they had gotten abducted by aliens. And so I had a U-Haul truck all fixed up. I was going to try to drug them and get them drunk and then drug them and put them back into that U-Haul truck and just let them wake up a little bit. And we could never get that done. We tried and planned and tried everything. We just couldn't get it done. But I don't know. There's a lot more to it, but I don't know. The thing I'd like to say is there's not any Mothmen around here. There's not any Bigfoot people around here. There's no aliens around here. I've never caught one or seen one. And it was just hilarious, you know, I guess messing with my brother, then finally figuring out what happened to the Mothman down in Point Pleasant. You know, there's a lot of people down there believing that, Terry. They, you know, they believe in that Mothman, that he was there. I don't know what to say to them. How do you tell people? I could tell you what happened. Yeah. But they still want to believe that there's a Mothman down there. My brother still wants to believe that there's a Bigfoot down there. And these people that are out here chasing aliens and got all these shows about them, excuse me, I just don't know what to say to them. They can go and come and do what they want, but they're just not here. So with that all said, I'm going to try to write a book out of all this stuff and hopefully get a book written and maybe get a movie made out of it. So maybe we can get something going here. Let's see, what else did we do to those people down there looking? They raised the boats out. Oh, I believe that they also used side-scan radar on the bottom of that lake to find them boats and everything, to find if them aliens were really living there. And we were going to set off an alien girl. You know, what I did, I got one of them blow-up women, which...
I see we got
an audience here.
See, I see from your picture here. That,
yeah. What she is, I'm going to tell you the truth about
say,
that.
Kind of describe her a little bit, what you did exactly.
Well, what she is, I've never seen such a beautiful girl in my life. The day I had to go down, I think it was old Trader Bud's or whatever he was there on High Street, they used to sell them blow-up women. It's a blow-up woman like you'd see in some, you know, these cartoons. I went in there and got her. I shouldn't say her. Bought that daggone thing. And I took her home and painted her all up and filled her full of helium. Now, the idea was we were going to sink her into the lake. But it took like 6 or 7 cinder blocks to really sink her, you know. And Dick, my buddy, he was in Vietnam, and we were going to fix up the old rat trap to turn her loose. So when you pulled on the fishing line, it would spring that rat trap and cut the line. And she was going to fly up to the top of the water earlier in the morning, you know, just about the time sun's coming up. She would dance around on the water just a little bit, you know, until she got good and warm and kind of dried off a little bit. Then she'd take off into the air. But there was a dark-haired girl down there the day that I bought that thing. And she was just grinning like a possum, you know. It was funny. It was embarrassing to me, but I had to have her. But
right.
Take a look at her. She looks pretty. Looks like a regular space gal, doesn't she?
Yeah. Now, if you aren't seeing this, I mean, the colors he used on this thing is absolutely perfect. I mean, just imagine a brown. Just imagine like a brown and then some black.
She has her, that's her space suit there. She could fly all she could fly all around. And, I forgot. There when we couldn't find anything to do to them, we made alien communicators. You see that thing?
Yeah.
Okay, what that is that is an actual radio transmitter that will transmit over half of the Earth, right? It'd go to the 180 degrees on both the Earth. And there's a wheel on there. Now, in that wheel, there's no code or anything. It doesn't really say anything. It doesn't really spell anything when you turn that wheel. But as you turn that wheel, it'll send out different frequencies. So when somebody's listening in, it sounds like you're talking to somebody. There is a 1 or 2 binary numbers on there and letters. I think the G and H is on there, and the number 9 is on there, but only because it was ended up as a mistake putting in there. But what we would do is Dick would be down at Seneca Lake, and I'd be up maybe 10 miles away at another lake out there. And we would set it off at a particular time. I'd turn my wheel one full turn. He would turn his wheel one full turn, give it another minute or two, and then we would start, like, talking to each other. So you turn the wheel halfway, then I'd back my wheel up, and he would do the same thing. So whoever was listening, and this girl and guy that came in there, they had all kinds of equipment. This was back in early 90s. They actually had miniature helicopters, and so they could fly around, try to, if it was somebody doing this, they'd try to catch them. But you could take that radio transmitter, put it on the seat of your car, plug it into the cigarette lighter, and they'd just think it's a car going down the road, see. Nothing, there was nothing you could do. And, well, it worked out pretty good, because every now and then you'd see all of their vans that they drove in there. You would see their vans, especially when we set that radio transmitter off. They'd take off to predetermined places. They could never find us because we were moving constantly with our cars. But it was a good way to throw them off. And that last photograph, I think it's on there with the hieroglyphics. Is that on there? It's not on that page. Okay. Well, when we got done, we took an old sign I had. I stole a sign from out of Illinois, out of a cornfield road way over in Illinois. It said Pink Stuff Road, Pink Staff Road. And we put on there some hieroglyphics. And I knew at one time what these hieroglyphics, what they actually said, but the meaning of it was that the Starship Travelers was going to meet down there in 6/6 of 99. Now, and we took it out on this area. Now, that's something else I ought to tell you. Where the area was where all them pine trees was, where I set the spaceship off. Well, somebody come in there and cut every pine tree down. I mean, they clear cut that place, and there was no reason for them to clear cut that other than they was trying to, trying to find something where that spaceship had come up out of there. So we took an old stump, and a big high stump, really, and nailed that hieroglyphic sign to it. Well, that was there for about a week, and somebody come in there and took it. I don't know who took it. Maybe that man and woman took it that we were going to, scare, or we were going to try to abduct them, really, while we were going. And, everything turned out okay. We them old men down there, of course, now they're starting to die off now, so the two of them are dead. Oh, one more thing we did to them. I forgot about this. This is probably the most important. Here's a picture of that egg on there. Okay, now that egg, I had a stroke of genius in making that thing, so I don't want to tell anybody how I did it. But it looks like on the inside of it is really smooth. It looks like the inside of an egg. Now the outside of it looks a little rough, you know, but that is an alien egg. So them aliens. They're laying their eggs, they're having their youngins here on this earth, right?
Yeah.
So what Dick did, he got his feet back out, and I made him that egg, and he went down there in one of them old farmers' barns and left that egg in there. He purposely for that old farmer to find, right? Well, he found it, and you find something like that, you know, about 5-6 inches in diameter, and you looks like something was come out of the end of it, you know, or one end. It looks just like an egg. So what he did, he got his feet back out, his alien feet, and marched those feet back into the barn. And when he marched out, it was an extra set of footprints marching out. He had got him some small, real small rebar and stretched it out and curled it a little bit and flattened it. So there was a mama coming out with them chicken feet. and a little tiny baby right next to her coming out of that barn. And there was people down there for about 2 days searching that field, making crisscrosses on that field outside that barn of where them people, whatever was there, they were going to find it. And they never found nothing. So. Oh, it was, we had a ball doing this, Terry. We did. We had a, them old men are smart and everything, but they thought they had themselves, they thought they was going to catch an alien down there coming up out of that water. And it was kind of funny, so. But it's, I'm just telling the folks out there that if you ever seen a Mothman or a Bigfoot or an alien, it's somebody like me out there playing a trick on somebody. I can guarantee you that.
Was this all over a course of a summer, or I mean?
Well, course of a summer, and it started from the day that I told everybody I was Bigfoot out there. It probably went on a year and a half. You know, Dick and I had planned on doing all this stuff. So we started planning on, from early March till Christmas, I'd say. Yeah, at least, yeah. Well, anyway, that girl and her, I don't know, I think maybe they may have caught Dick doing something, setting off radio waves or something. Because I don't want to say things out of school about her, but they run into Dick one day down at the old bar, and the next day she wouldn't even talk to him, you know. So, and the day after that, they were gone. They just pulled up and left, and said they told him that somebody's pulling a hoax on them down there. So I don't know what they got. I don't know what they found. They didn't find anything. But they must have caught Dick somehow using that transmitter, that alien transmitter thing, because, mm-hmm. boy, they got out of there in a hurry, mm-hmm. you know, and that's the last we ever seen of them. We didn't hear nothing. We waited around there a long time to see if it's come back. We were going to also make a place where aliens were coming up out of the lake and having a picnic, you know. But that got to be, I had some, now this is something I did. This is kind of funny in a way. It's kind of sick in a way too, I guess. But we were wanting these people to think maybe these aliens are getting people, right? Coming out and getting, so we were going to dig a grave up, but we didn't do that, you know. And we just couldn't work it out where I could get a grave dug up and get some bones. But I went down to a bar next to a hospital there in Columbus one time. I got kind of friendly with the nurses that would go in there. And I kind of asked them if they could give me some, you know, maybe somebody was hurt in an accident or had a finger or toe or something cut off in an accident, and if they could get it for me. Boy, they got mad about that. Now, I'm telling you, they started calling me Jeffrey Dahmer. And it was bad, Terry.
Yeah,
I thought I had it made with them, but no, they...
they didn't want no part of that.
They didn't want no part of me after that.
Well, I was going to say, I guess to call you that, you know, I mean, that's...
Oh, that was bad. Yeah, that was the bad, worst part of it, you know, them calling me Jeffrey Dahmer. You Jeffrey Dahmer, son of a gun, get out of here. Get away from us.
Well, Art, with about 2 minutes to go, this has been a fascinating story here. This would make a great movie, I think, or a book or something. Is that something you would like to see?
I would love to see this whole thing turn into a movie. Like I said, I've written a book. Now, I'm not a writer. But if you want a spaceship, I'll make you a good spaceship,
yeah, okay,
Terry.
Okay.
I'll make you a good alien
right,
one.
Right, right.
But I've written everything down. It's in the book form. And, I think it'd make one heck of a movie.
Yeah.
Make a terrific movie.
Sure.
You'd be laughing all the time at the things that we did.
Who would you want to play you?
Boy, I don't know. I really don't
like
know.
Sean Connery, I never saw Sean Connery or something.
Sean Connery would be good at this. Yes, he would. This would be, yeah, this would be right up his alley. You know, to play something like this. Yeah, it was. Oh, we had a ball doing this, Terry. It was, and I know I left out a lot here telling you this stuff, especially about that, you know, Bigfoot and the Mothman. I didn't talk a whole lot about that. But
Art, we got about a minute to go. You want to wrap it up here for everybody?
Boy, you better do that because I don't know how to wrap up.
I'm just going to wrap it up by saying, Art, this has been, it's been an absolute pleasure hearing this story.
It's been a pleasure being here,
Terry.
It's
been fascinating. It's a great, great story. Like I say, I really think it'd be a tremendous movie, book, whatever. So
this is true, Terry. Everything I told you here is true.
If anybody out there, you know, would it be a publisher or a director or anything?
Movie maker, whatever.
Yeah.
It'd be a good one.
Get a hold of us here at the studio, 740-383-9944. And we'll forward all the information to Art.
Sounds good to me, okay. Terry.
Well, in the meantime, Art, thanks for coming on. We appreciate it.
Well, thank you. I appreciate being here. This
all
was
right.
Well,
thanks a lot, guys.
This is kind of nerve-wracking for me.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP Marion, Ohio. The place for the holiday season. And